I woke up this morning and the Lord was heavily dealing with me about this community that we are living in, here in Harrisburg, this entire area. And just kind of dropped this thought in my heart that comes from Proverbs, the 23rd chapter, verse 29, about how you can recognize when a particular city is deeply wounded and when it's hurt. Harrisburg is a city of much shearing in its foundation. And the Lord said, well, you know, Lord, how do you prove that? How do you know that a city is really that deeply wounded? I mean, you got the obvious stuff, but show me in your word, you know, like, how do you show in the word the symptoms of a city that is deeply wounded? As we all have probably experienced, Harrisburg is a city that is synonymous with drinking. You say Harrisburg, just drinking. That's all there is. That's all people talk about at work, at home, at school. You know, the goal of many young people is to be able to, you know, get my first drink, go out, club, party, drink, you know, after work, drink, after school, drink. It's just, I told you guys, remember I said when we first came here to Harrisburg, coming from a different city, different culture, we come from a city where money is God. No joke, it's even in its history. When the foundation of St. Louis was laid, it was always the practice whenever you would found a city to, first of all, to build a church, then build the businesses, and then build the homes. And when St. Louis was settled, they built the businesses, and they built their homes, and they built the church last.
So
money is in the foundation. And so that was kind of thinking like that when I got here, because that's the world I come from. And that is, you know, what motivates people is money. Well, that ain't what motivates me. And here's what I mean by that. During the various shopping seasons, what was the first holiday we were here? Labor Day. So we thought the stores were really going to be crowded, because in St. Louis, every holiday, malls, stores, they are, you can't find anywhere to park. It's just because it's money making. It's so holidays are huge. Spend money, make money. So Labor Day, the holiday, the parking lots are full. Then Halloween, parking lots are full because you're going, everybody's going out buying candy and parties and everything. Then Thanksgiving, oh, it was just crazy. Because it's kind of a, even though it's not a southern city, it's the Midwest, but we got a lot of southerners that live there. So Thanksgiving,
it's hard to find a good time. I'm serious. You got to shop early.
You got to shop early. Ain't no such thing as going on 2 days before Thanksgiving and trying to find a turkey.
You better not.
You better go the week or two before. Put it in the freezer and you'll have your turkey Thanksgiving. Crazy, but that's the reality. So I'm used to that. And Christmas, what's the day after Thanksgiving is the first day of the shopping season.
Oh.
5 o'clock in the morning,
seriously,
parking lots.
They start the night before and line up.
They do.
Walmart.
Jam
packed. It's a big deal to camp out and go shopping at Walmart the day after.
To go at day after Thanksgiving.
That's the day of major sales.
Yeah.
The earlier you get there, the better deals you get.
And so I'm used to that. And then, Christmas is just crazy. Ain't nowhere to park. Almost all the way up to Christmas Day. Well, I come here to Harrisburg, and Labor Day came and went, and where is everybody? Well, I heard about the thing going on down at the riverfront, so okay, but what about the stores? Thanksgiving. Okay, no big deal. Christmas. Okay, I'm sure it'll be crowded for Christmas. New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
What? There's nowhere to park. What are all these people doing out? And I said, oh, New Year's Eve.
Drinking.
Partying. That's Harrisburg. Oh, the light came. Ah. Completely different culture from where I come from. Drinking. thinking? And I remember one time Carol and I were driving behind someone who was weaving all back and forth.
Oh, you could smell the alcohol.
But we could smell the alcohol coming from his car.
Deep.
And we had the windows closed and the air conditioner on. And it was as if though
we were
in his car. As it was so bad, I was like, I need to call the police before this guy kills somebody. Because he was weaving all over, but we could smell the. I'm like, I've never experienced, never, guys, in my life, never experienced smelling somebody else's drinking in my car. Never. So y'all nodding your heads like, yeah, that's normal. That's regular around here. Okay, what am I getting after? Bible says in Proverbs 23rd chapter, verse 29, who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Meaning, I'm wounded, but I don't know why. Who has redness of eyes, weariness, tired? The Bible says, those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine. Harrisburg! I'm like, oh my God! The symptoms. See, it's not. Most of the emphasis gets put on the drinking. But I'm showing you the Bible says here's the reason why. So I didn't say all of that to put Harrisburg and his community down about the drinking. But the Bible tells us why. Now you know why we've been spending so much time talking about broken places. This is a broken city, a broken community. Who has woe? Woe is absolute dread. I hate going to work. I hate being there. I hate the traffic. I hate the house I live in. I hate just everything about my life. Just what's the point? The person who feels like that lingers long at the wine. So what else is there to do to get away? Because this becomes the way to get away from the woe. Who has sorrow? Just go through the list. Who has contentions? I was told before I moved here that this is one of the most contentious communities in the United States. I was warned, but I came anyway because God said so. A gentleman who is an elder in our church was a manager, upper management for United Parcel, UPS, the big one. I was going to say United Postal, but no, United Parcel, the big brown trucks. He says the most difficult place for UPS to operate in the world is Harrisburg, he said, because of so much contention. So much contention between the union and the workers and the drivers and the packagers and the just on and on. Drivers don't want to drive in certain communities. They don't want to make pickups in certain places or go certain places. Just contention on every level. Isn't that amazing? So, who has contentions? What else do you do when you just, everything is a fight on your job. Everything is a fight at home. Everything is a fight at school. It's contentious. It really is. I don't know how you guys, I know how you made it. You made it through the grace of God through these years. But I have really come to appreciate every single one of you. This is a contentious place. But the response to the contention for most people here, we're looking at the evidence. We're actually looking at the evidence of a community. The Bible says, the Bible, not Pastor Chris, the Bible says these are the symptoms of a contentious people, of a contentious community, people having to live in this. Changes everything, doesn't it? I don't blame them. If I didn't know God, What else? Who has complaints? I won't even go there. But here's the next one. Who has wounds without cause? People walking around hurt and wounded, and they don't know why. They don't know why. The church just pointing at you. Ah, look at you. Your arm is broke. Ah, look at you. You got a gunshot wound. Ooh, look at you. You got a stab. Ooh, you bleeding from your head. But if you knew God, you'd get up from that seat and you would walk. If you had faith, there wouldn't be blood gushing forth from your belly. Yeah. Y'all laughing at me again. And here's the worst part. I'm bleeding. I'm broken. I don't know why. And I'm in a place where they're complaining because I'm wounded. They're contentious with me because I'm wounded. They even start, man, you, look at you. I'm glad it ain't me. Here's another tough one. Who has redness of eyes? Tired. No rest. No peace. Wow. Who has it? Those who linger. Gotta understand that this isn't saying they drink and it caused this. No. They already had this and they drinking because of this. The drinking issue in Harrisburg is because of the woe and the sorrow and the complaints and the contention and the wounds and the weariness. My Lord. Changes everything, doesn't it? I find it interesting when you look at the Word of God. Johnny, I need you to come up here. I want you to go to this scripture for me. I want you to look at Proverbs 31, and I'm getting ready to wrap it up. It's 12:30, so I need to stop. I just want to show you this, and then I'll stop. Often when we read about Proverbs 31, we think of it in terms of the virtuous woman. Anybody ever heard about the Proverbs 31 woman? Well, before we start talking about the virtuous woman, there is a little discussion about drinking. Wow. You ready? Proverbs 31. Go to verse 4. All right. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert justice of all the afflicted. Next. Give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Now, here is this wise woman talking to her son, and she says to her son, who is a future king, go back to the verse before that. Verse 4. It is not for kings to drink wine. Now, most of the time you get to the issue of drinking, everything is always taught in the context of religion. But this is being discussed in the context of who you are. I want you to remember this. I'm going to take up with this and continue with this next week. The issue of drinking is not an issue of sin or not. Obviously, drinking was in the Bible, and the people of God drunk all the time. Isn't it amazing? Chris, are you telling everybody to go out and get a drink? No, that ain't what I'm saying. I'm just telling you it's really not a sin issue. The issue is, who are you? The issue is, who are you? The issue is, who are you? Verse 5, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Verse 6, give strong drink to him who is perishing. So, if you perishing, Go ahead. Drink all you want. Because all you got is woe, sorrow, complaint, wounds without cause, weariness. So in order for you to escape because you're perishing, go ahead and whine to those who are bitter of heart. You know, because they're not king. They're not in a place of authority. They're not in a place of intercession. In the New Testament, you hear the writer Paul say, there's a lot of stuff that's it's permissible for me to do it, but it's not expedient. You know why? I've got a higher purpose. So as the people of the Lord, I'm not in war. I'm a king. I'm a prince. I don't need strong drink.
I need God.
Isn't that great? Paul told the church in Ephesians, he said, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Let's go. I even read that when I was a young person, when I was younger, and I go, how does that mix in? How'd you get wine and then jump to Spirit? That's because of this. Alcoholic beverages, and even drugs, they are known as control substances, meaning if you take this into your body, you're going to come under its control.
Its influence.
And you'll be, as the Bible even talks about in Proverbs, you'll be uttering perverse things. You'll say stuff will come out of you that you, everybody will be telling you later what you said and what you did. So here's this wise woman talking to her future king son and saying, that's not for you because of who you are. You've got an entire nation. You've got the poor. It goes on to say, you've got poor and the needy. You got to speak for those that don't have a voice. You got to intercede for those that can't help themselves. Can you hear me spiritually today? So in this room full of kings and priests, because we're told that from 1 Peter, Peter tells the people of God that they really are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Don't you love that? So because of who you are, you don't need it. You don't need to be under the controlling influence. Let me get back to Ephesians. You don't need to be under the controlling influence of wine or strong drink. You need to be under the controlling influence of the Holy Spirit. That's what the word filled means. It means be under the controlled influence of the Holy Spirit. That's why that was a wonderful play on words that Paul was actually using in Ephesians. Don't be under the controlling influence of wine, which leads to debauchery. Don't you love that word? It means leads to you just crash, just saying anything, doing anything without even thinking about it.
Loss of inhibition.
Yeah.
And tact.
Yeah, no tact, no discretion. You can't be that way because of, again, who you are. You're a king. You're a prince. You're in a place of authority and influence. You're in a place of interceding for people that can't. They don't have a voice. You're in a place of influence for the poor. Here's another fantastic, awesome reason. I got to at least show you this one. Proverbs 23, verse 20. Here's one of the most, do not mix with wine bibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat. He was making a whole different point. I can't get to it right now. Go to the next verse. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. That was the point. He was not putting down drinking and eating. He was already still off operating out of the same mindset that we started off with at the top of that verse. You're a king. You're a prince. You have a place of influence in people's lives. But if you participate, you end up where they're going to end up. Here's where they're going to end up. We'll come to poverty. And drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. He's after it. So you've been, and I know preachers been getting up, you're in sin. You're drinking and gluttonous drunkards and you're going to hell. No, no, that's not the point. His point is where it leads to. Y'all laughing at me again. So now can you understand why this woman would be telling her son, you're a king. You're a prince. You have an awesome place in people's lives. And if you go down that path, they're laughing at me. And if you go down that path, because this is where the drunkard and the glutton ends up, because they keep trying to, the drunkard keeps trying to find the escape. The glutton just keeps trying to fill his desires. And so if you're just always trying to escape, and these are the two biggest things promoted in America right now, escape and satisfy your desire. But the Bible says it will come to poverty. What do you mean by poverty? There's a whole lot of rich people that are fulfilling their desires and escaping. Well, the word poverty means lack. Lack, it can be in financial. It could be in relationships. Lack, and see the things that really count. We always think of poverty, first of all, money. But no, there are so many people that are very rich. But if they could just get my wife to talk to me.
To love me for me and
to love
me.
Woo! See the stuff that matters. So the person that always trying to escape and only fulfilling my desires will come to lack. Someplace that's dear to me is going to be lacking. The Lord is my shepherd, says, I shall not want. That word means I shall not lack. I'll be in lack of nothing because the Lord is my shepherd. He leads me. But if I'm under controlling influence of this outside substance, if I'm just fulfilling my own desire, I'll come to the very lack that I'm trying to get. Because that's what everybody's after. I want peace. I want the pain to stop. I want contentment. I want to be satisfied in here. And I'll do whatever it takes to get that. Even if it's something that I hate doing. But I'll still do it for the moment. Just for the moment. And here's the word of the Lord. I'm talking to a room of kings and priests. Don't be drunk with wine. Natural and spiritual. Don't be under the controlling influence of this world.
Anything it has to offer.
It's so attractive. They got the tightest beats. Oh, they got such great beats. The music is so awesome. The pictures and the clothes and the cars and, am I right, y'all? Y'all smiling at me. It just seems like they always got the best stuff. And when you're really looking for somebody, they got the best looking women. They got the best looking men. I'm just talking as a youth pastor. And our young people used to say, man, Pastor Chris, ain't nobody cute in church. Can't find nobody cute. Just all the best ones are out in the world. Just, I'm saying, so let's be real. That is how most people say. We would tell them, well, it ain't just y'all that feel that way. There's a whole bunch of adults upstairs in the main service. They feel the same way. It ain't just teenagers that's thinking that. There are people sitting in church and they're just looking across the room and go, man, ain't nobody in this church. And it just always feels that way. And then not just people, but you go out to the church parking lot, man, ain't nobody got no good car. Everybody got a Flintstone mobile in this church. All of us still dressing like we in the 80s. And like, man, we ain't got nothing in the church. Why does the wicked prosper, the Bible says? It just feels like they got everything. But the Bible says, but when I came up into the pavilion of the Lord, meaning I come up and I see things from God's point of view, because really this is how it is. It's like I'm on the earth when I come down. Just think, I come down and I'm on the same level as everybody else. And I look around and the wicked are prospering and everything is cool and they got all the best. But when I came up and then I'm looking down at God's point of view, he says, then I see that their way is slippery. And the next step that they take, every step they take, could be their last. But the people of God, even though the way is hard, it's sure. And even though it takes longer, we're going to get there. They just went and got stuff fast, but it ain't going to last. Oh, that works. Ah! We have the sure way, and because we represent him as kings and priests, oh Lord, this ain't about me. You're gonna do what you said. There's some things that God has promised. He's gonna take care of us. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What was the these things? Well, before you get to that scripture, the disciples were saying, how are we gonna eat? Where are we gonna live? Are we gonna get any clothes? You know, how are we gonna take care of ourselves? You know, how? And word, the response from the Lord was, all these things the Gentiles seek. They're worrying about every day. Where am I gonna live? How am I gonna have enough money? How am I gonna take care of myself? They're the ones who are living with the woes and the sorrow. And it's not that we don't have the same experience, but we experience it as kings and priests. So rather than having to turn to something out of the outside to come in and give me peace, rather than have to keep trying to fulfill my own desire with not just food, he's not just talking about, he says glutton, he don't just mean food, but whatever is my craving to try to fulfill that. Mm-mm, I'm not coming to lack like that. Tell some, yeah. Tell yourself, come on. I ain't going out like that. Just, I ain't going out like that. Not in lack. I used to have, me and Carol used to have this phrase when things would really get tough. You know, when you do what God says and it ain't working, it feels like it ain't working. And we made a determination like, look, if everything falls, if everything fails, if nothing works, we're going to go out doing it the way God said do it. So the only way we fail is if God fails. But we're going to fully, everybody, all of us, we have to be in that place. Lord, I'm going to do this your way. I feel foolish. I feel like always the odd person out. I never feel like I'm in the know of what's going on. I hear things going on in the news or the latest thing going on in Hollywood, and there's so many different names and things going on, the latest movement, the latest trend, the newest fashion, I can't keep up anymore. And there are people that are scrambling, trying to keep up. What's the new group that's out? Who's the new CD? Excuse me. What's the new movie that's out? What's the new fashion trend? What's the newest thing happening in business? What's the new wave in education? What's going to happen now in housing? Oh, I want to be a part of the next new boom that's going to happen on Wall Street. I'm just scrambling. I've got to be in the front. Got to be on top. Got to make it. God tells us that, chill. Don't you love that? Chill. Where you get chill from? Well, it says be still and know, but chill. I like chill better. Chill and know that he is God. He's got this. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this word today, and we receive this.